The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. I appreciate you taking the time out to hang out with me for the next hour or so. Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Saturday morning replay at 9. And congratulations to the Indiana women. My goodness, I'm going to look forward to Saturday afternoon. We're going to go to the ball game. I've not been to any of them yet, but I know that the attendance has been ramped up pretty steadily. Started around 3,000 or 4,000, went to 6,000. I think they had somewhere near 8,000 to 10,000. During the Final Four and now the final game for the NIT. So congratulations to them. I think that they have a very bright future ahead of them. They have still some young kids on the team, even though they're going to be losing a couple of seniors this year. But I think the future is bright for both men and women's basketball over at Indiana. Got a good show today. It's going to be a lot of a little stuff. So I'm not going to have a theme throughout the entire program, but we have a lot to talk about. Did a town hall this week on tax reform. It was the night of the women's game, and we had about 40 people sign up. 30 people showed up, which I mean, that means about 10 of them went to the ball game. We're going to continue to do these probably once every couple of months. It lasts 1 hour, and I can tell you I had two CPAs that came, and both of them complimented the program by saying, I've been to two programs already on tax reform. This was the best one. It was entertaining. It was informative, and it was quick. So if you are on our email list, if you're not, go to cfci.us, and down the bottom you can plug your email in, your name, and then you will automatically receive radio show updates. You'll receive information about our Shred Day coming up or town halls that we have coming up. So do that, because they're all free, and they're always fun, they're always informative, and they snowball. So when people say, wow, that was great, the next one it may be fuller because the word's getting out. Let's do a little bit of news of the week, brought to you by the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. It's, of course, supported by us at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. If you want to learn more about Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame and their upcoming banquet, then go to mcshof.com or simply Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. All right, I found this pretty interesting from Boom and Bust, and the title is The Fed to the Markets, I'm Just Not That Into You. Rodney Johnson wrote, when it comes to the Fed, investors like to think that they're in a committed relationship with the central bank. The Fed officials will support them through accommodative policy if anything goes wrong in the markets. So if things go bad, we'll bail you out. That's the attitude. That's been the case since 2009, but not now. With every press release and almost every speech recently, new Fed chairperson Jerome Powell and the central bankers are telling investors, well, it's been a good time, I'm just not that into you anymore. The Fed has a plan. They're going to reduce their balance sheet. They're going to raise interest rates perhaps as many as three more times this year, expecting GDP growth to continue to go up. And the question is, do we think that is possible? You know, almost nothing that has happened in the markets or will happen in 2018 will do much to change their approach. So the Fed, they see it this way. The economy's not rolling over, and as far as the markets go, we're just not that into you anymore. But we ended March on a good note, so we'll see how the rest of the year flies. Speaking of the Fed raised short-term interest rates by 0.25% last Wednesday, the sixth rate hike since 2015, first rate hike since Jerome Powell took over. So, in the 570 trading days since that first rate hike, the S&P has gained 30.9% total return, an annualized gain of 12.6%. So, obviously, rate increases hasn't and hadn't in the past either affected the market. I always think this. You know, we've said this so many times. What's the difference between a genius and a quack when it comes to global economics? The answer is about 30 to 40 years. So when asked on July 1st of 2005 on CNBC about the possibility of a bubble developing in the U.S. real estate market that could cause a recession, then-Fed chairperson Ben Bernanke replied, "I guess I don't really buy your premise. It's pretty unlikely. Possibly." I mean, that was his answer. "We've never had declines in housing prices on a nationwide basis," he said. So what he thought was prices would likely slow down, not crash. Of course, from June of 07 through March of 11, the average price of a single-family home in the U.S. fell well over 20%. That comes from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. 1 month, 1 year, the U.S. government has run a $215 billion deficit in February of 2018. As recently as 2007, the budget deficit for the entire year was $215 billion. Wow. Until year 1986, the U.S. government had not recorded an annual deficit as high as $215 billion. That comes from the Treasury Department. By the year 2035, the projected number of American seniors aged 65 and up, that's over 78 million, will exceed the number of children under the age of 18. For the first time in the U.S. history, will that have occurred? That comes directly from the Census Bureau. You might be filling out a census card right now. I've heard they're out. And here's something else that we'll wrap up on, and then we'll get over to talk about our town hall this past week, and some of the stuff that I just mentioned with demographics and the deficit play right into that next segment. But major U.S. retailers closed almost 7,000 stores nationwide during 2017, the total greater than the number of closures that occurred in any single year ever. I mean, actually, it says even before and during the financial crisis 10 years ago. So, folks, I go into stores sometimes, but not a lot. Usually my shopping is done online at night, and I buy my fishing stuff that way. I bought some supplements that way. I buy a lot of stupid stuff that way. But my point is that I don't think this is going to stop anytime soon. All right, when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about this town hall that we had this past week on tax reform and what does it really mean to you. A lot of this you've heard before on the radio, but we'll go through it again. And also how we purchased this tax clarity software, and it's pretty awesome. And we're going to offer a free tax map, but don't get too excited until you hear the next segment showing you the opportunities. And we're going to have you shoot us an email so we can set you all up. It only takes us about 15 or 20 minutes to input all your information into our system, and then we can play with the what-if scenarios to really help you do what you need to do over these next 7 years as we have historically low taxes. So we'll come back. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. I was messing around with my phone. Wayne Thacker was texting me. He is going to call in and give you a little preview of a Social Security and Medicare workshop coming up at the Legacy on South College here in about a week and a half. So he'll be calling in probably during the next segment. All right, we had this town hall this week. We had about 30 people there, 40 signed up, 30 showed up, which is about average, especially when you have an alternative thing to do, which was women's basketball that night. It happens, but listen, this is such an important topic, and I can't stress it enough. And I went through the whole thing. I went through David Walker being on a national radio show, giving the grim prediction of our country's fiscal path. He said, based on this path, future tax rates would have to double for our country to sustain itself, otherwise it could go bankrupt. And then he challenged the listening audience. You know the story. Give me a four-letter word that explains why. And the calls started coming in. Debt, wars, kids. I always like that one. Came out. Then after a few more guesses, he revealed the answer. It's math. Did you watch Roseanne this week? So when I was a kid, or maybe a young adult, I enjoyed Roseanne. And Roseanne, they have a comeback, and the whatever you call it, the premiere was this past week, and we just happened to stumble upon it. It had been advertised pretty fiercely, But we were finishing up watching The Voice, which is one of our favorite shows, my favorite shows. And, oh, Roseanne's on, so we flipped it over. It was pretty funny. I have something to say when I'm done with this, but Roseanne and Dan Connor are obviously very conservative. Roseanne's sister, obviously very liberal. And they had a lot of funny jabs back and forth. But I think the reason the writers are doing this is they're trying to show the divide in the country and how, you know, we don't understand why they think that way. We don't understand why you think that way. You're stupid. And how actually people can have differing opinions and help understand each other better and come together. So that, I think, at the end of this season, that's what hopefully will come of it. Now, back to the story. So they were trying to make up, not be so mean to each other. So Roseanne puts her arms around her sister and says, I know you have a big heart. I know you want free health care for everyone. I know you want free education. I'm just sorry you're so bad at math. It made me laugh out loud because the next night I was doing the tax reform, and that's what David Walker says. It's math. And you've heard me say it. You've heard Ed Slott say it. If you don't think taxes will be higher in the future, you're either not paying attention or you're really bad at math. It's just the facts. In fact, I had picked up the Wall Street Journal this morning and saw this. It said the head of the Health and Human Services said that in 10 years, basically Medicaid costs are projected to grow so fast that it will virtually squeeze every other category of spending on higher education, infrastructure, safety, everything. All will get squeezed. In fact, I went through this with everyone talking about, you know, we don't have to look any further than Social Security to see, you know, why we have a math problem here. I just mentioned earlier in the news of the week the demographics that we will have more people over this age of 65 than people under 18. Remember, Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. 42-1 paid into the system when it first came out in 1937. It's now 3-1, projected to be 2-1. Currently, 76 cents of every dollar that comes into our coffers pays for just four things: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on our debt. And it's being projected by the Congressional Budget Office, not me or any other body, anyone else on the radio or TV, that it could be as much as 92 cents in just a handful of years. That leaves 8 cents, according, and that's backed up by this article from the Health and Human Services, 8 cents to run everything else. And that means everything. You know them, armed forces, Congress, federal courts, everything. So that's where the math problem lies. Now, we went through, surely taxes could never double, right? Well, I went through, you know, back in history, 1913, when taxes were only 1%. But then how we got hooked on it, by the time 1943 rolled around, the highest marginal rate was 94%. Went through the Ronald Reagan story with them that Ronnie made $100,000 a movie, so he'd only make two a year, because if he made a third one, he would only keep 6 cents of what he earned over that. And then I brought up the point he lived in California, so I said, hey, he may have had to pay them to make that third movie. I'm not sure. And then we pulled up the screen of the marginal tax rates from 1945 through 2017 and you know, talked about how today the top marginal rate is 37%, and even back in 1963, the lowest marginal tax, lowest one was 20%. And then we went through the numbers from the Congressional Budget Office that says Social Security and Medicare, if they go unchanged, the lowest bracket would need to go from 10 to 25, the middle 25 to 63, and the highest from 39.6 last year to 88%, just to pay for the unfunded liability. So we set the stage up, then we showed everyone the current tax structure, and that you could literally make $103,000 after your deductions, which is doubling the standard deduction, $24,000, and maybe if you're over 65, you get another exemption, $1,300, how you could make up to $103,000 and still be in the 12% tax bracket. So I went through everything, and I went through, you know, the analogies, and about half the group listens to the show on a regular basis, so they've heard this stuff before, maybe just not in such a direct way that I can't usually do on the show. But I went through the whole thing. You have a mortgage against your IRA, the partnership you have with the IRS and your IRA, and that partnership, you don't even know what their interest is until they need the money later. You know, I talked about the analogies of going to the bank to borrow money, and the bank says, well, we're not going to tell you what the interest rate is until we need your money. And then how going through Roth conversions and how the extra income can cause some unintended consequences. I gave him a scenario, one scenario where you took out $1,000 extra from your IRA and it cost you 49% tax. And you might think, how in the world did that happen? Well, when I took the extra $1,000 out, it pushed me into that next tax bracket. And when it did that, it made a little more of my Social Security tax. It made a little more of my capital gains tax, because in the 12% bracket or lower, you don't pay any capital gains taxes. Once you hit over that next threshold is 15%, then it goes to 20 for really high income earners. But when you showed $1,000 out of the IRA and paying $120 on that, and then the little extra Social Security that was taxed, a little extra this was taxed, you ended up paying $449 of tax on a $1,000 distribution. That's what I call the tax torpedo. You don't see it coming, comes under the water and gets you. So we talked about all of that. And like I said, if you are interested in doing or coming to a town hall on tax reform, I will be doing more of these. I may do some during the day on Saturdays. I don't know. I enjoy doing them. And we have this tax clarity software where we can input your tax return in, all the different types of income you have, and then we can show you how you can change a few things to get into line a little bit better, or how to take advantage of your tax bracket. One thing I was surprised about when I said, okay, if I paid Doug Hughes $10 more and Doug went into the next tax bracket, would that significantly impact his taxes or not really be that big of a deal? I would say more than half the people thought that it would significantly impact his taxes. Well, the answer is no. We live in a marginal system, which means the first set of dollars isn't taxed at all because you have the exemptions and deductions. And then the next tranche is a 10, then the next bit is at 12. It's the next dollar. So even if I go $1 into the 22, it's just that dollar that gets taxed at 22, not all my money. Social Security works the same way. It's so much more complex than what anyone understands. And that's why I'm offering up a free tax map. It's pretty awesome. And you can shoot us an email at cfci.us. I'll hook you up with Kevin. He's our paraplanner in the office. He's the one that runs the software. He can plug in your information and we can help tell you what to do. Because remember, these low tax rates are on sale for only 7 years. December 31st of 2025, that's when they all sunset. And at that point, as we used to say down south, Katie bar the door. You don't know what's going to happen from there. All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Wayne Thacker to give us a little bit of an update on this upcoming workshop on Social Security and Medicare and why you should come. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Wayne's not quite yet teed up. I was looking through some old notes and I found a tweet from Ed Slott that says, Slott calls the Roth IRA tax insurance because once you're invested in one, you won't have to pay the taxes on contributions or earnings again. I like that. And then I found something else quite funny, and I used this in the tax town hall workshop this week. I found a reprint of Social Security announcement on, you know, the new program beginning in November of 1936, the United States government will set up a Social Security account for you, if you're eligible, to determine your obligations, rights, benefits. You should read the following general explanation. Well, it's about 3 pages long. It's kind of a cool-looking pamphlet. And I get to the part on taxes, like how are you going to pay for this? So it talks about how the taxes call in that you have to pay some in and your employer has to pay in. But here's what it says. During the next 3 years, beginning January 1 of 1937, you will pay 1 cent for every dollar you earn, and your employer will pay in 1 cent for every dollar you earn, up to $3,000. And later on, it's highlighted. It says, this is the most you will ever pay. Oh, goodness gracious. That's why you can't believe this stuff. The other thing that I brought to the table, I had looked through some old pictures at my mom's house and to find, for a program that I was doing to illustrate a point that if she can do it, you can do it. My mom had all of his kids very, very young, and mom and dad divorced when we were young. We had a great life, a great childhood. We didn't have a lot of money, but my mom remarried my sister Jana's dad, and she's a half-sister, and my dad also remarried. So probably giving you way too much information. But anyway, my mom worked at RCA, and Zach, my stepdad, he worked at Rogers. My mom, and we had all these kids at home. My mom, I'm looking at her W-2, at RCA earned $5,200. That's what she made at RCA. And Zach at Rogers made, 11 grand. Yeah, 11,000. But here's my point. In 1973, their adjusted gross income was $16,000 after their standard deduction, which was only $2,000, and their exemptions, which totaled $1,500. Their taxable income was $13,500. They paid $2,700 in income taxes, 20%. In today's environment, this person, my mom, they would have paid no tax at all because of the bigger standard deductions and the fact that you have smaller marginal rates. So even in 1973, the lowest marginal rate was 20%. And in today's world, you can earn up to 103 grand and still be at 12. So that's my point, folks, in trying to impress upon you. I told them last night or Wednesday night, whenever it was, my goal here is not to impress you about my knowledge of the history of the United States tax code or where I think things are going to go, is to impress upon you what it is you need to do. Because we use the analogy that David McKnight used here on this radio show. You know, we're a big fan of the Roadrunner. And one time, the Wile E. Coyote was in his shed making an Acme Bond to blow up the Roadrunner. And lo and behold, to the coyote, the Roadrunner pushed the shed right onto the train tracks. Well, right at the last minute, the coyote looks out the window, sees the train coming, and you know what he does? He just pulls the window shade down, because if he doesn't see it, then it ain't going to happen. So what would you do? You'd jump out and run. Well, that's what we are right now. We are on the tracks of a very real train bearing down on us in the form of higher taxes. So you can either stay on the tracks, ignore it, and act like it's not going to happen, or you can do something about it by putting in place some of these known and proven strategies. And they're not that difficult, but you don't want to do them on your own, because once you do a Roth conversion, you can't go back. It's not like the old days where we could do it and then say, oh, I had all these things happen I didn't know about. So what I've told people this year, don't let it go by without doing something, but don't do it necessarily right now. If you wait until November or December, you'll have a really good idea of what type of income you had, what was your capital gain distributions, interest earned from the bank. Heck, the bank's actually starting to pay a little bit of money on some CDs. I'm seeing CD rates, you know, for specials at 1 to 1.5%. I saw a fixed annuity rate sheet come through today from an A-plus rated carrier that will pay you 3.2% over 5 years. I mean, these rates are moving, finally, so that's a good thing. So you may have a little more interest on your bank deposits than what you had in previous years. So a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not going to let this thing go. You're not going to hear one show about it and then let it go. You're going to hear me. I'm not going to kill you with it, but I'm going to talk about it. Here's one thing that I have figured out. I don't care how often I say something, unless it applies to the person on the other end listening at that moment of time, they don't really get it. Like Social Security and the different claiming strategies. I could have talked about that every single week on this show, and at some point, during every show, someone would say, oh my gosh, I never heard that before. I could talk about being able to give money directly from your IRAs to charities once you hit 70 and a half, and it not be included in your taxable income, and it satisfies minimum distributions. And I would have people say, I didn't know that. I had a client tell me, and this is what got me going. I had a client. Now, granted, they live in Indianapolis, but I know I see them, I talk to them. I know they listen to the show occasionally, and he actually said to me, I'm a little bit upset that you didn't tell me about this qualified charitable distribution. I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't say that out loud, but I was thinking, are you kidding me? That's all I talk about are these crazy things that you can do. Not crazy, but sound things you can do that sound crazy to get yourself off of this this train track of higher taxes down the road. So anyway, so if you get bored with listening to me pound the pavement, talking about the same things over and over and over, remember what the definition of insanity is, and maybe this is driving me insane. Continue to do things over and over, expecting different results. Well, we expect major results, so that's why we're going to keep talking about it. All right, real quick before I let you go, and hopefully be joined by Mr. Thacka in just a few minutes. Let me look and see if he's texted me. He is not. Always, always, always do we get the question, what do I need to keep? I mean, fewer taxpayers are itemizing in the wake of federal reforms this year. And one of them, a lot of them might be, how long do I need to keep receipts, forms, records? How long do you have to hold on to these into the future? The Internal Revenue Service has not changed its viewpoint on this. It still wants you to keep a copy of this year's 1040 form and all your supporting documents for at least 3 years. Now, for at least 3 years. Does that mean 4 or 5? I tell people 6, just to be safe. So that's what I would do. Insurers or creditors, they might want you to keep things around a little bit longer. The IRS recommends, especially if they're concerned about property transactions. For the record, the IRS advises you to keep documents linked to property acquisitions until the year you sell the property. Does that make sense? So then they know how much you paid for it or what's your depreciation, amortization, whatever it might be. So that's good advice as well. If you inherited property, make sure that you have the forms that were filed showing the date of death value, because you inherited the property at the date of death. So anything from that point forward is what your appreciation is. So you can scan things to help reduce some of the clutter, and you can show up to our 2018 Shred Day. It's coming up April 18th. You'll hear more about this from 2 to 5. They're in our parking lot on South College Avenue, and please bring as much as you have. We had an F-150 come in last year with a camper shell, completely full, box. It was great. And it took us about 10 minutes to unload it and put it through the shredder. I'll tell you, we have never filled the Shredding Unlimited truck up. It's only been about half full. So my mantra this year is fill the truck. So we're going to try to fill the truck up this year with a bunch of paper that you don't need anymore. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Mr. Wayne Thacker on the line. He's going to discuss the upcoming Social Security and Medicare workshop and why you should attend. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Have that frozen with no salt, please. Wayne Thacker is on the phone. Wayne, when you hear music like that, it makes you think of margaritas and sunshine. But man, the rain around here has been wicked. So hopefully by the time the weekend rolls around, it'll be out of here and we'll start getting spring on the way. It is Easter, and I saw a bunch of turkeys. Ryan and I were riding with you from Brown County yesterday. We saw two flocks of turkey, and they were in full mating mode, which means that spring is here. I'm starting to see some tulips up, so I can't wait. Can't get here quite fast enough. Hey, you were at the big tax town hall meeting this week at the Legacy. Pretty big hit with people.
I thought, you know, when we talked about the workshop, I thought, well, we're either going to have two people or this room's going to be packed. And it was the latter of the two, and what a great workshop that was.
I thought so, and for the show today, I kind of highlighted some of the things we've talked about. But it's something that we can't just do once. We're going to have to do it, you know, maybe every couple months, maybe during the day, maybe some Saturdays. It's only an hour long, but we can hit home what it is that we need to do. And then promote this tax clarity software. We're offering up a free tax map to any listener who has their taxes completed for 2017. They can email our office, cfci.us. They can contact us that way. We will put them in touch with Kevin, who's our internal paraplanner in charge of the software, and we will show them the opportunities that they have in 2018 and beyond. Now, you have a workshop coming up, two workshops, actually. One is one that we're putting on for people that would like to learn more about Social Security and Medicare. That's coming up next week sometime?
Next week, David, we've got Tuesday, April 3rd at 5:30 at our Legacy Learning Center, 5:30 start time, Social Security and Medicare, how they work together. You know, everywhere we go, no matter what retirement plan we're talking about or what pension system, Social Security is still a big part of everyone's retirement income. Everyone has questions about it. Is it going broke? Is it going to be there for me? How much am I going to get paid? Do I need to, what happens if I work and I'm not full retirement age? All of those things we're going to answer in that workshop, as well as all of the Medicare questions. And it's very timely. Every day, new Medicare questions are coming in, such as the one we just got. Ryan was just dealing with this. If you have an HSA and you're still working and you're about to be 65, should you apply for Medicare Part A? It's free. It's a backup insurance if you, as long as your employer is over 20 employees. So should you apply and can you still contribute to your HSA? I'm not going to answer it, David. You got to come to the workshop to find out.
I like those teasers, Wayno. I love the teasers. It is on our website, cfci.us, under the events tab. So if you don't know this email by our website by now, cfci, Charlie Frank, Charlie Igloo, .us, under the events tab, you'll see that, and you can register. It's completely free. How long do you guys normally go? About an hour?
We're going to go right at about an hour. Sometimes we'll go about an hour and 5 minutes, depending on the question.
Gotcha. And then another workshop, Retirement Readiness for Indiana Public Employees. This is an Ivy Tech retirement class. It's going to be a great workshop. It's perfect for people that are in the Indiana retirement system who want to get retirement ready. And it's not just on the Indiana system or their 403Bs or 401As, but it's the coordination of everything, including Social Security, Medicare. Now, this one costs you $15. It's a bargain, but you can also go onto our website, cfci.us, and register for that as well. But this is an Ivy Tech class, and that's why the $15, it goes to the Center for Lifelong Learning. That class, Wayne, is a very, very intense class. We start at 6 p.m., I believe it is, and 5 or 6.
Okay, April 10th.
Okay, April 10th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., and there's a lot of information crammed into a little bit of time. We say it's like taking a drink from a fire hydrant, and maybe that's even saying it lightly, but it is very informative, and we try to make it fun. We laugh. We enjoy each other's company. You know, we keep it on target, but we don't want this stuff to be boring. We want you to have a good time. So $15, you get a textbook, you get a lot of great information, and you can support the Center for Lifelong Learning. So, Wayne, we will talk with you in the morning. And thanks so much for calling and checking in.
All right, Big D, thank you.
All right, guys. We're going to take a break when we come back. What do I have here? Purposeful planning. There was an article that I was quoted in. I think I brought this up at some point back in February. But purposeful planning, the article tries to talk about how to leave enough but not too much to your heirs. I'm going to cover some of that when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. I was talking with Kevin. I mentioned his name more than once on the show because he is in charge of the Tax Clarity program. And I know Kevin listens to the show on a fairly regular basis. I said, I've been trying to listen to a few shows just to get better at delivering messages. And I told Kevin, I need to calm down. I need to slow down. I mean, in my real life, I mean, you go to dinner with me, I'm not a wired mess. I don't know what it is. Maybe sometimes I get behind the microphone and start talking about taxes, stuff that gets me all jacked up and excited, I guess, and I turn into a goofball. So I'm going to attempt to slow things down a little bit, but I can't promise anything. So going back to Wayne's talk real quick, if you are a Indiana retiree or public employee, I should say, you and your spouse are welcome. If you're married, if you're not, you'd bring along a friend, $15. It's on April 10th. It's an Ivy Tech class from 5 to 8. It is at the Legacy on South College. $15. That's it. So go to cfci.us under the events tab, and you can register. And I think you just bring the payment to the class, and you actually make the check payable to Financial Educators of Indiana. It's a conduit that we'll use to fund the classes. So anyway, that's how you do it. And then if you're interested, please come to the Social Security and Medicare workshop. Wayne gave us a little bit of a teaser on why you should come. So come, cfci.us. All right, back in February, there was an article in a publication called Retire Ahead. And actually, I was reading it and then saw my name. And I thought, I don't even remember doing this. But it kind of makes sense. But I thought I would read a little bit of this to you. And the Purposeful Planning article says, how to leave enough but not too much to your heirs. I mean, Warren Buffett has said it the best, maybe, when asked about leaving money to his offspring. The Oracle of Omaha famously declared, I want to give my kids enough so that they could feel they can do anything, but not too much where they think they can do nothing. Bill and Melinda Gates have a similar view. They say they're going to give a minuscule portion of their wealth to their kids. Rock star Sting, he has a similar mindset. They need to work. All my kids know that, and they rarely ask me for anything. They need to work. I like that. Now, that's a different level of wealth, right? I mean, even for those that have a small fraction, of these famous folks' pocketbooks. Maybe I should talk faster. Maybe I could actually articulate a few words. But but people are rethinking how they're going to leave money and how much to their offspring. They don't want to give their sons and daughters so much that it removes the importance of a successful life on their own. And that's what people say. But I think that if you're driven to have success, you're going to have success, whether mom or dad or grandma or grandpa leave you money or not. But here's where they quoted me. So leaving money to the adult offspring may be generational, says David Hayes, president of blah, blah, blah. We actually did a program here in Bloomington called Leaving a Legacy, and we focused on the different ways that generations think about legacy planning, Hayes says. The children of the Depression viewed inheritance as a financial transfer. They would go without to make sure they had money left over for their kids. I mean, you guys know this, right? I think about my grandma. She wanted to make sure the girls had this money when she died. So she would reuse a lot of things and, you know, skimp by just to make sure that she had a little left behind. But now the baby boomers, what we're seeing is it's more of a transition to leaving values, traditions, memories, celebrations, favorite stories, family trips like our Hayes Boy campouts that hopefully we'll have planned pretty soon, fishing trips that we're going to take in, you know, this summer to Canada, reunions, just spending money to create experiences that you'll talk about for a really long time. So are you planning on leaving a bunch of money to your heirs? Is there one way that you should do it versus another? Obviously, it's a personal situation. Everyone is different. But one person called it warm money versus cold money. Giving money away when you're still warm versus giving money away when you're cold, which means you're dead. Discussions all the time. I think if you have a well thought through retirement plan, you understand where your income's coming from and what excesses that you have, you're comfortable in giving money away now when the kids need it the most. Who needs it more? A 38-year-old with three kids that's trying to, you know, fund education for their kids, or a 70-year-old whose 95-year-old mother just died? My argument would be the 38-year-old. Now, do you give a ton away? I don't know. Probably not. But you give enough to help. You get to enjoy watching them use it. Maybe you spend the money on a vacation to Kings Island, just something simple, or over to, you know, anywhere. But I like that. And then I also think that when you do die and you leave the cold money, you don't have to leave it in a lump sum. Remember, we've done shows on this before. What about an income inheritance? What about an income stream that's going to last for not just your kids' lives, but your grandkids' lives, and maybe even your great-grandkids' lives, with specific instructions on how you want them to use the money? And then that would help create memories. You remember the story about the family going to the Macy's Day Parade. If you haven't, it's in the archives that you can listen to it, and how they went on mom's dime and they had a great time. They talked about her. And it was a great experience. So those are the kind of things that I think are related to purposeful planning. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. Let's see what we got when we come back. I don't have much time when we come back. Oh, yeah. I'll try to get through this if I can. Do you ever get bogged down at the end of the day and you think, I didn't get anything done? I wasted the entire day. Yeah, me too. When we come back, I may have a few tips for you that are not necessarily financially related. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. All right, so I now am a subscriber to something called, like, gosh, what's it called? I don't even know what it's called, but it's where they send razor blades, shaving kits to your house, and you can do it, you know, monthly. I've slowed them down, but anyway, but each time I get a box with new blades and other things, they always have this neat little pamphlet that just has some cute little things in it. But one thing I pulled out that talked about how to make every minute count, and it comes from Amanda O'Reilly. She's a CEO and founder of Personal Concierge Services in Balance and in Style, and she walks through some ways to help you make every minute count. Now, I'm lazy inherently. I love to lay around and not do anything, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you get to the end of the day and you think to yourself, I didn't get anything done. This was the least productive day that I think I could ever have. And unfortunately, that happens more often than not for many people. I'm actually fortunate that I have a lot of great people to help me, including my beautiful wife, who does pretty much everything for our family, which allows me to do what I do. I have great office staff, great advisors that represent us very, very well, and I get to do what it is that I do. Well, she says that you should think about do, ditch, or delegate. I like that. Make a not-to-do list. You know, because everyone has these things that it's like, these are the things that bog me down. Well, put the list down that I'm not going to do those things. Turn off your notifications on your phone. I mean, I really get driven nuts by when people have a phone in their hand or in a meeting and it's going zzz, 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 and they're looking at it and they're doing that, whatever. I leave my phone in my office and I'll check it, right? Between things, I'll look at it, maybe answer some texts. I do not get emails on my phone. I'm never going to get emails on my phone. I say never. I may not mean never, but I don't want to be one of those people that are always checking my emails. So there's some easy things you can do. You know, look at it like I mentioned before. What do I want to get done today? What are the things that hold me back? And how can I avoid those things? All right? So hopefully that helps just a little bit. I ran out of time, but you know what? I have a lot more to talk about, so I'll be back next week. That's the good news. Hey, I hope everyone has a fantastic Easter weekend, a great Good Friday. If you're listening on Saturday, you had a great Good Friday. And everyone, go to church on Sunday, and have a great one. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.